Well, good morning. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Andy Terrine. I'm a licensed practitioner here at the center, and it is always a pleasure to be asked to share and do some lessons here. You know, it's always so wonderful to come together today in joy and in happiness and, you know, to share this tremendous love and compassion that we have for each other. We live in such such rich, abundant lives, don't we? Pretty much. The title of my lesson today is My Prayer for Abundance is Simply Thank You. Now, some of you will recognize the thank you part from the quote from Meister Eckhart, 13th century philosopher, theologian, mystic, you know, who said that if the only prayer you ever say in your entire life is thank you, that would be enough. And so the theme for this month at our center here is abundance, and how wonderful it is that we live in a universe that is just teeming with abundance. And it's full of infinite possibilities. It provides all that we need to live the life that we choose. That's the rub, isn't it? It's the life that we choose, really. So, and we're choosing all the time, whether we know it or not, consciously, subconsciously. You know, a few weeks ago, it's when I was taking a day off from coming to the center, and I was just doing things on my own. I ended up going to Trader Joe's around noontime or in the afternoon. And if any of you have ever been to Trader Joe's on Sunday afternoon, you're going to find that it's the busiest time to go, right? I mean, so I'm pulling into the parking lot, and I see a spot opening up, and so I'm thinking, oh, that's my spot. So I turn in, and I'm heading for that spot, and a car is coming toward me in the other direction, and it's a woman, and she's coming in the wrong direction, and I pull over to the right as much as I can to let her by, and she scowls at me, and I'm just shaking my head. So I get up to that parking spot, and I'm trying to maneuver into it, and I discover I was the one going in the wrong direction. So after manipulating, you know, you have to kind of do this before you can, because you're coming from the wrong direction. I get in, and I just turn the engine off and just took a deep breath. And I said, well, forgive me, lady. I'm sorry. So, and then I had a good laugh. I had to laugh at myself. So, yeah, it's, yeah. So, yeah, it's, that's kind of interesting. And there's a point to this, you know, because there's a few things that I learned from that. One is that, obviously, I was focused on how busy everything was, and I just had to find that parking slot. Is I was so focused that when I saw somebody coming out, I glanced around me and headed to that slot because I knew that was my parking slot. And I was so excited that my parking angels were with me that I chose to jump right on it and get in there. What an incredible opportunity. I chose to believe that this poor, unfortunate woman coming toward me was wrong, and she was glaring at me because she just felt so bad. And, you see, it's all about choices, right? So all of these things ended up, you know, pretty good. I ended up with my parking spot in the end. You see, life is about these choices, even though your choices may be wrong. You may struggle in the process and still end up getting what you desired, but it won't be pretty. Yeah. You know, you can see abundance in absolutely everything. You know, it comes in so many different forms, love, relationships, finances, health, intelligence, whatever, wisdom, beauty, even in parking spaces. So you look around you on this spring day, and, you know, we're just immersed in this divine abundance, you know, the sunshine, the potential for some rain, the trees, the flowers, the sky, all of it, you know, the animals, and so much more. We choose it, and the universe says, absolutely, yes. We all know how this works. It's the law of attraction. What we focus on is what we get more of, obviously. And what we focus on, and those things that we're grateful for, we get more of what we already have. The universe says, yes, absolutely, always, and gives us more of that. So when we focus on lack, what we don't have, the universe says, absolutely, and gives us more lack. The universe doesn't know how, you know, how big and small, you know, this big, that big. That's in the human mind. It only knows the form that our human mind is creating, and it fills that form with whatever we believe. It's that simple. So if we want more good in our lives, we need to be grateful for the good that we already have, obviously. In the Science of Mind 365, this is a real old one. I mean, it's all yellowed and kind of torn in pages and stuff like this. I've had it for a long time. I can't read the print anymore. It's too small. So I downloaded it to my tablet where I could expand it. And I still do it every day. In Ernest Holmes' Science of Mind 365, he says, and this is really good, why go through life as though it were something to be endured, as though there were not enough good or joy to go around? Are we not always limiting the possibility of love and affection, of appreciation, and of the common everyday good things of life? If we really are in union with the divine source, then there should come a feeling of abundance in everything that we do, an abundance of friendship, of expression, of everything. The abundant life contains all things, whether we call on them to be big or little. We should sense a flow of consciousness of the divine intelligence, a feeling that the creative imagination of the whole universe is centered in us and flowing through us. We should consciously practice this more abundant life, not necessarily for any specific thing or good we desire, but for the realization of all good flowing through everything and everyone. Attuning our consciousness to this divine abundance, automatically we find betterment in everything, a broader and a deeper experience, a higher realization of the greater good. And for me, the important piece in that is attuning our consciousness to the divine abundance, and that automatically we find that betterment in everything. Before I continue, I want to do something. So if all of you would just bear with me for a moment, and I would like you all to just close your eyes just for a few seconds. And as you close your eyes, I want you to go to a special holy place that you go to when you pray. And briefly, just say a little prayer to know your spiritual truth and to be one with your Creator. Just take a few seconds to do that. When you're done, just open your eyes. Okay. Now, you don't need to raise your hand, but just answer this question to to yourself. When you went to that place, that holy place within you for prayer, how many of you felt or lifted your head slightly or slightly you raised your eyes inwardly when you were praying? So kind of keep that in mind because it's going to come up again. So in preparation for this talk, at this point I had already written out this history of the early Christian church and the architecture and all of this stuff here and how we got separated from God. Well, we don't have time to do all of that, so so suffice it to say that any early church, as it was formed when Jesus was kind of still around, Jesus preached that God was actually in us, in all of our brothers and sisters, and we could see the face of God in our brothers and sisters as well. So at that point, we were all at eye level. We're all at ground level, right? In the churches that once when Jesus had departed, then when the churches were started, they were in homes. They were in secret locations. They were always at the floor level. So, leaving out all the middle part and moving ahead about 1,000 years or so, now churches were starting to build cathedrals. The cities were formed and all the other stuff that went behind it, but now we have cathedrals with these very high asps. And that's where God was. God was up there. It wasn't down here. It was no longer at eye level. And the go-between was the clergy. Now, this is significant because God has actually moved from our level to up there someplace. It's no longer within you. And as I said, the go-between man and God was the clergy. And so this law was passed down from generation to generation. You're down here, God is up there. It's so ingrained into us that to this day, when many of us pray, we just automatically close our eyes and lift our heads. Now, there's no judgment about this. It's just an awareness of how these things work. But how lucky we are here, because here, the Funday School, the Cosmic Kids, what they're learning is that God is absolutely everywhere and in everything, and mostly it's right here, right in your heart. You know, they're taught that, and not in the big words, but they are the physical embodiment of the Most High. So, if God or divine source is all there is, and that source is right here within me, as me, then what I'm seeking is right here inside of me. We hear it said often, you know, that I'm perfect, I'm whole, and I'm complete. And no matter what the appearance is out there, that is the divine truth. That within me there is this power. Within me there is this vibrating energy of the universe. And I can't be separated from it. Everything is vibrating. It is all there. I need never look outside of myself for anything that I truly want, that I truly desire. It all starts where I am. When I bring that desire that I'm seeking into vibrational alignment with divine source that is already within me, it manifests for me. It manifests my heart's desires with ease and with grace and comfort. Thank you, Abraham, Esther Hicks. As she says, ask and it is given. But there is a caveat to that. It must be vibrationally aligned with what I'm asking for. If I'm out of sync with what I'm asking for, then it's just not going to work. Ernest Holmes says it very simply on page 403 in the Science of Mind. He says, thoughts of lack manifest as limitation. Thoughts of abundance manifest as success and happiness. Failure and success are but two ends of one stick. Reverse the thought, and the conditions tend to become reversed. So, to paraphrase Abraham, contrast is good. You need to know what you don't want in order to focus on what it is that you do want. This is how it works. I must know and believe that I am on this plane of existence to live a joyous, prosperous, loving, and abundant life. I am fully supported by Source in all that I desire and all that I do. All is given to me based on what I choose to believe. But we all know that. So if I'm getting the wrong end of the stick, to use Holmes' words, then I need to reverse that thinking. I need to look at, what do I really believe about what I desire? Do I really believe I deserve vibrant health, or opulent wealth, or loving and caring relationships? What do those things mean? What do they mean to me? What would it feel like? How would my life change if I had those things? For example, what does vibrant health mean? Does it mean that I just want to feel good? Does it mean that I can climb Mount Everest? You know, or does it mean that I can spend more time with my kids and my grandkids and my family? What would that be like for me? How would that feel if I got to do those things, if I was in that kind of good health? You see, the universe is just waiting to shower us with abundance and to prosper us in all things. It's always saying yes. So knowing what I truly desire becomes very, very important. That's why it's really important to question what it is that you desire. If I'm thinking that I'm broke and I have more bills than I have money, and I start treating for wealth, it's probably not going to work out very well. Because before I go into that place for treatment mode and think, I have to think, what would it feel like to be able to pay all of those bills? What would it feel like to have more money than I had bills? The answer, the feeling, the joy, whatever it is that comes up, this is what I need to be treating for. This is where the emphasis has to be. Because in our limited capacity, we often think that if I can just change this condition, my whole life is going to be better. But unless we change our thinking, seriously change our thinking, our success will be temporary and very short-lived. So in your treatment, know and believe that the universe is teeming with abundance. Divine Source is providing you with all that you need to live the life that you choose. Source provides all the money and all the resources that I need to pay all of my bills. It has always plenty left over for me to enjoy and to share with others. I am open to receive from areas of my life that I'm not even aware of. I'm ready and open to joy and to peace and to comfort, or whatever it is that I feel, knowing that the very best and highest good is always prevailing in my life, always. Ernest Holmes concludes that that meditation for abundance with this little treatment. He says, today I expect a more abundant life. I'm keeping my whole mind and thought and expectation open to new experiences, to happier events, to a more complete self-expression. Giving out more love, I expect greater love in return. Sharing with others what good things I have, I expect all life to share with me the good that it possesses. Seeing beauty everywhere, I expect a revelation of still more beauty. Seeing joy in everything, I expect more laughter. More deeply sensing the divine tranquility in which all things exist, I expect deeper consciousness of peace and security. Through it all, I feel that I am in the embrace of warm, loving presence, forever seeking an outlet through me. Isn't that beautiful? He speaks from the heart, from that place of love. You know, A Course in Miracles teaches that you are love. Truly, you are. You are love. Love is the language of the spirit, the language of the heart. The opposite of love is fear, and fear is the language of the ego, the language of the head. So we need to get out of our head and into our hearts. Need to fall into love, fall into abundance, and in your prayer, just say, thank you. Namaste.